You would take your Bible, please, and turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 20. Exodus, chapter 20, this morning. I'd like to thank the church family for praying for the camps this week. As was mentioned, it is a combined effort. There are other churches that are involved, but our church has a very big part in these camps, and we're thankful for all of you for praying and for supporting, for those of you that provided for the camp week. We're thankful to God for you. Thank you for your labour of love. Thank you, Brother Stephen Herrington, for your ministry in the kitchen. We were served 5-star meals, and we are thankful for that. And Sister Marion and Michelle Hickson for helping in that regard, and Brother Jan Anderson, who was our main coordinator, providing and preparing for the games and activities. We're thankful for his ministry as well. So thank you very much for your labour of love. Now, teenagers, this evening, as part of our night service, we'd like to encourage you to come and be prepared to share a word of testimony. Time does not prevail this morning to give you that opportunity, but tonight we'd like to have some testimonies from the teens and also the junior campers as well. We'll hear from them as well, so let me encourage you to give God the glory concerning what He has done during the course of this week. Our children are the next generation, and it's our responsibility as adults to pass on the baton. And I'm well aware that all of these workers this week have sacrificed their holidays, their time to minister. And I'd like to encourage you that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. And we need to pass on the baton. So I'm thankful for the opportunity to be involved in young people's ministry, and thank you, church family, for your prayers and for your support. And don't belittle what contribution you've made. God will honour it and God will bless it. We're thankful. I don't know about you, but I want my children to excel me. As a parent, I want my children to go further. And I'm going to do all that I can to give them every opportunity to just excel my measure of spirituality. And camps is one of those means we can do so. Exodus chapter 20, please. I'd like to just share a few thoughts with you this morning concerning the principle of rest. One of the complaints that we hear during this time of the year is that, "Pastor, it's holiday season, but I'm so tired. I'm still tired." Well, I'd like for us to review some principles, some keys to being well rested. Some keys to being well rested. Here in Exodus chapter 20, verse number 8, the Bible reads, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." Verse 9, "6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor the cattle, nor the stranger that is within thy gates." Verse 11, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we're mindful of your grace and of your goodness, and we ask and pray as we spend some moments within your eternal word, I pray that you would teach us principles that will help us to be a rested people, For thy glory we pray. Amen. Keys to being well rested. Well, the first mention of the word rest is found in connection to the creation week. There in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, God created all things in six literal 24-hour days. And then the Bible teaches us that God rested. The rest that is mentioned there in the book of Genesis is not a rest in relation to being tired as such or being weary, but it is a rest in connection to being complete or completion. So where the Bible reads that God rests on day seven, it is not out of weariness, it is out of completion. God completed all of his creative acts within 6 days, and then on day seven was the day of rest, the day of completion or affirmation. So the mention of the word rest, first and foremost in the scriptures, is within the context of completion. After each creation day, the Bible teaches us that God looked upon what he had created, and the Bible makes reference to the word good, that it was good. And may I submit to you this morning, without moving any further, for us to reach that maximum point or potential for rest, we must be within the will of God. We must be complete, that is, within the will of God. In other words, a person living within God's will has the greatest potential for rest. Because God ordained rest. And the rest that the Bible refers to in its original sense, in its original context, is within the context of the completion of God's will. So that is where we need to begin. If we are to be well rested, we need to be in the center of God's will. The main theme at teen camp this week dealt with the issue of being within the center of God's will. Romans 12, 1 and 2, proving what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So that is where we need to begin. If you want to be rested as such, have the greatest potential for rest, then you and I must be within the will of God. So in other words, people that live outside of the will of God will grow weary, will grow tired. Now, we understand the fact that we all grow weary, we all grow tired, because we are not infinite beings. We are finite beings. We have a physical body that is breaking down. And I remember in my health kick days that I was taught that at the age of 30, you have the greatest potential for well-being. 30 is the prime of prime age for greatest well-being. And it's no coincidence that the Lord Jesus began his ministry at the age of 30. Now that's free. I won't charge you for that point. But may I say, from the age of 30, it's a downward slope. So we understand the principle that based upon the fact that we are finite beings, we are physical beings, and we are exposed to the fact that we are that we live within, we have corruptible bodies, we do naturally get tired. But setting that aside, and without emphasizing the obvious that you need to have a good routine and eat well maybe your tiredness is due to a health issue, a physical condition. Setting all that aside, the obvious, people living outside of the will of God will grow more weary. But when you and I live within the will of God, we have the greatest potential for
for renewal, and for being well rested. In other words, disobedience to God's word leads to greater weariness. And I'd like to submit to you, my friend, on the one hand, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27, the Apostle Paul said that he suffered much weariness. It is a part of life because our bodies are breaking down. I've got to remind myself that I'm no longer 21. And I'm being reminded of that more often than ever, that I cannot do what I used to do at that age. But we do grow weary because our bodies are finite. But much weariness that prevails today, and may I submit amongst even God's people, much weariness is simply because we have neglected the will of God. We have neglected principles found in the Word of God. So on the one hand, we all grow weary. Just get used to it. It's just how it is. But I'm thankful there will be a day in which this corruptible body will be replaced with a incorruptible body. And I will be like Christ, and we won't have any regard to weariness because we'll never be tired in the presence of our Lord. Nobody's going to fall asleep in the presence of our Lord. Won't that be wonderful? To be alert, alive, alert, and enthusiastic for all of eternity. I'm looking forward to that day. But until that day, we live in a finite body, and therefore much of our weariness is due to our neglect, living outside of God's principles. So the greatest potential for you and I to be well rested, so to speak, lies within the fact that we need to live within the parameters of God's Word. So let me just share some principles with you this morning. And these principles are found within the fourth of what is known as the Ten Commandments that God gave to Moses, and for Moses to pass on these commandments to the people of God. And these principles are eternal principles. My first lesson this morning concerning keys to being well rested is simply this: God commands us to rest. God commands us to rest. The word Sabbath there in verse number 8 means to rest. It is God's will that we rest. In fact, God commands us to rest. And I struggle with this command, I'm the first to admit. I struggle in this regard time and time again. But God commands us to rest. An unwillingness to rest is disobedience to the Word of God. An unwillingness to take time out is a violation of the will of God. In fact, in Mark 6:31... the Lord Jesus said unto them, "Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while." That's what the Lord Jesus said to His disciples. "Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while." We need to come apart, or we will come apart, as it's often quoted. God commands us to rest. If we do not rest when we are meant to, then we will want to rest when we are not meant to. That's how it goes. So God has it all worked out for us. God commands us to rest. In fact, in Mark 2:27, the Lord Jesus said the Sabbath was made for man. Rest was made to benefit man, not man for the Sabbath. So God ordained rest within His will to benefit mankind. We live in a very driven society. There is no real balance between work and rest, as the Bible teaches. The values of this world seem to dictate to us when we rest and how much we are to work. See, God is not a rest robber. God is not some monger in eternity that despises His people resting. In fact, God ordained for us to rest. God commands us to rest. And God gave the Sabbath to Israel as a reminder of their commitment to Him. Now, strictly speaking, the Sabbath, the rest day, which technically is a Saturday for the nation of Israel, was a covenant affirmation of that relationship that prevailed between Israel and their God. And we don't have time, but in Exodus chapter 31, verses 12 to 17, the Bible confirms that. As God's people had that day of rest, it was a time for them to reflect and remember the commitment that they had to their God. The Sabbath, as the Sabbath day, the Saturday, is not ordained for God's people today. But the principle of rest is a principle that is in the Scriptures and is found before the law. So God commands us to rest. But secondly, I'd like for us to note, not only does God command us to rest, and may I submit to you that some of us are still tired because, if the truth be known, during this holiday season, you really haven't rested. You've worked. Sure, you've had a break from your regular routine, but you've occupied yourself with non-pay work, so to speak. You've done this and you've done that, you've done this and you've done that, and all of a sudden you're standing back, scratching your head, wondering why you're not rested. Well, God commands us to rest. That's the obvious. Lesson number two, if you look there in verse number 8, this is very, very important. Here in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, the second part of verse 8 reads, "Remember the Sabbath day and note to keep it holy." How can we be well rested? How can we be as well rested as it's humanly possible, being in finite bodies, corruptible bodies? Well, lesson number one, God commands you to have a rest. God's telling you, you need to rest. But secondly, our rest time, listen carefully, must be holy time. Rest time is holy time. This commandment to rest is a time that should be characterized by holiness. Note the word, holiday. Think about it. Holiday. Holy day. The word holiday comes from two old English words. This is really profound. Holy day. So holidays are holy days. A holiday that provides rest is a time of holiness and godliness. The average person will fill their life with unholy practices during their holidays. Now, I'm referring to God's people. There's this mentality, well, I'm on holiday now and I'm just going to let my hair down. If you have any.
I'm going to let my hair down.
Well, when you let your hair down spiritually and you live in an unholy manner during your holidays, you fill your life with junk and you watch things that you should not watch and you read things that you should not read and you go to places that you ought not to go to as a Christian that you wouldn't normally go to as a Christian, but because you are on holidays, it is detrimental to your well-being. Now this is a very, very important point. So in other words, we need to be careful that during our holidays to maintain spirituality, to still live godly. It is not a time, a licensed time to feed the flesh. During the normal working week, we should starve the flesh. And during your rest times, you need to starve the flesh. Don't give in to the flesh's appetites. See, holiness should be a way of life, not just a part-time occupation. And I'm absolutely convinced beyond measure that many of God's people will go away for a two-week holiday. And if truth be known, what they've done on that two-week holiday has not been honourable to the Lord. And they come back and they find themselves still tired, still weary. See, God commands us to rest, brethren. But rest time should be holy time. But many of God's people are not well rested because they occupy their rest time, whether it be that one day during the week or whether it be that holiday vacation, they occupy their minds and their lives with things that are just not holy, that are just not godly. And they wonder why they're still tired. Well, what do you expect? When you spend time watching things that you're not to watch, it will drain you emotionally. When you go to places of amusement that are godless and are full of rock music and the rest of it, and you're wondering why you're still tired, let me tell you why you're still tired, because your holiday is not a holiday. Why are you going all quiet on me? You know what I'm saying is true. Somebody say amen. You know it's true. That's why some of you are tired. Some of you have let your hair down. You're listening to things and you're watching things and you're going to places that you ought not to go to and you're wondering why you're tired. The Bible teaches us that we're to keep it holy. Holiday. Holy day. So God commands us to rest. Well, that's a good place to begin. Just take time out. And I'm the chief offender in this regard, I confess. But secondly, rest time needs to be holy time. Don't set aside your spiritual standards during your holiday time. It's not the time to go carnal. Amen, Pastor. Lesson number three. You still with me? Lesson number three. Would you like to be well rested? Would you like to enjoy the greatest potential for rest? Well, number one, rest. Make time to rest. Number two, make sure that your rest time is holy time. Don't go carnal during holidays. Lesson number three is found within verses 9 and 10. The principle here is, 6 days shalt thou labour and do all thy work. Then on day number seven, the Bible teaches us, is the day of rest. Principle number three, how can we be well rested? Well, number one, God commands us to rest. Number two, keep your holidays holy. And number three, work hard within 6 days. Work hard within the 6 days. And then you will be able to rest completely on day 7. So God tells us that we need to work hard, complete all of our tasks within 6 days. While it is day, work. Work hard. Give 110%. And when it's time to rest, rest hard. We live in a very wasteful and lazy society. The phrase hard work is a misnomer for many people. And you know what that leads to? Tiredness. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. If you don't work hard, in other words, you are lazy, then you are inviting tiredness into your life. But if you work hard, the Bible teaches us the rest of a laboring man is sweet. And many people, I'm not saying all, I'm just being very general here, many people that suffer from quote-unquote insomnia are lazy people, are undisciplined people. Not all, I'm not saying all, but some, that's their problem. They're lazy and they don't work hard. See, my Bible tells me work hard for 6 days and rest hard on the 7th day. Our problem often is that we work when we should rest, and we rest when we should work. Pardon me, that was Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 12, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet. In other words, as much as it's possible, do everything that you can to complete all of your work within 6 days, and then devote one day that you have nothing to do with your work. As much as that is possible. But let me ask you this morning, are you disciplined enough with your time to not waste time? And therefore, you can maximize your 6 days of work. And therefore, when the day of rest comes around, you can truly rest. I'm afraid that we so often waste so much time in watching things that we ought not to watch on the TV. Say amen. And the internet. Social networking, and the list goes on and on. So many of God's people, inclusive, are weary and tired because they're wasting all of this time doing things that are a waste of time. And therefore, they're not doing what they should be doing, and they're not completing all of their tasks within the creation 6 days, and therefore they cannot rest on that one day because they've wasted all of this time. That's why you're tired. See, work hard within 6 days and then you'll be able to rest well for that one day. God tells us to complete all of our responsibilities within 6 days. I learned the hard way during my Bible college days that I needed a day of rest. Look, it took me over a year to work out that, look, I cannot study on Sunday as well. I need a day of rest. And I came to a point in my Bible college training that I, by faith, I said, I'm just going to obey your word. God, you've told us in your word, 6 days work, one day rest. So by faith, I said, Lord, grant me the grace to do all my studies, all my assignments, do all my work within 6 days, because I'm going to have a day of rest by faith. Well, I honored that principle and God honored me. I found my grades improved. Just like that. I tell you no lie. My grades improved immediately and I was better rested. See? That's God's will. You parents, you be careful of pushing your child to the max. You're going to weary your child to no end. So you parents, be careful of that. God ordained 6 days work, 1 day rest. And parents, we need to honour that with our children. Otherwise, you're teaching them unholy practices. And why don't you just step out by faith and trust God's word? If a child can work hard for 6 days, they deserve to rest on day seven. So you make them work hard for 6 days. But you allow them a day of rest. That's Bible. And all the children said, that was for you. Work 6 days, work hard for 6 days. See, this Sunday trading is a curse. It really is. Because once upon a time, we had to organise our lives and all of our main shopping had to be done within, in fact, 5.5 days. Remember those days, parents? Shops shut at 12 noon. Finito. And guess what? We survived. Now we're feeding laziness and the irresponsibility of the human nature by having shops open 7 days a week, and we're wondering why people are so tired. Instead of people being encouraged, take care of your shopping business within 5.5 days. Oh no, we'll give you 7 days. We'll not only give you 7 days, we'll give you 12-hour days or 24-hour days. It's not good. Not a good thing. Anyway, that's free. That's free. So work 6 days, work hard 6 days, rest 1 day. That is Bible. If we do not obey that principle, we violate the word of God. Will somebody say amen? That's what God tells us. You work 6, work hard 6, work yourself to death for 6, but you rest hard on the 7th. Last but not least, the final principle I'd like to stress this morning. Are we still friends? I want you to be well rested, really. We're all growing weary, all of us are. And I know there are a lot of factors, but I'm convinced our main issue is spiritual issue. We don't see rest from God's perspective. We allow the world to dictate to us how we rest, when we rest, and how much we rest, and what is rest. We need to go back to the Bible. The Bible commands us to rest. The Bible teaches us your rest needs to be a holy day. And thirdly, the Bible teaches us work hard. Don't drag your feet during the 6 days. You work hard for 6 days, then you rest hard on day 7. My final principle this morning is this. The day of rest must be a day of worship. The day of rest must encompass worship. Note there at the end of verse number 11 it reads, and hallowed it. That word hallow there is in reference to worship. The Lord Jesus used that word in teaching His disciples how to pray. And He said, after this manner pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It's an expression conveying worship. And the principle is simply this. If you want to be well rested, well, number one, rest. Make sure that you're holy, you live holy on your rest days. Number three, work hard for 6 days. Ask God to give you the grace to accomplish all that you need to accomplish in 6 days. And if it takes you any longer, you need to fast and pray and say, God, am I really meant to be doing this or that? Because I can't do it within 6 days. You need to ask that question. So you work hard for 6 days and then you rest on day number 7. Day number 7, you worship. In other words, your rest day is a time of worship. It encompasses worship. Now, we find that principle within the nation of Israel. Their Sabbath day was a day of worship. Not only were they to rest physically, In fact, God's people went to the extreme concerning what they would do, what they would not do. And I'm not saying that's what you need to do. For example, the Jewish people were not allowed to light a fire on the Sabbath day. That was considered work. Now, I'm not referring to that. I think common sense can prevail, can it not? I'm not saying it's wrong on our rest day to fill up your car with petrol. Or to go to the ATM and take out your tithe, the missionary offering, on the Lord's Day. That's not wrong. That's not wrong. I understand there are some services that must be in order 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the ambulance services. I'm thankful for hospitals. Hey, God's priests worked on the Lord's Day. This is a work day for me. This is not my rest day. Wish it was, but not possible. So I work on the Lord's Day. We understand that principle. But the principle is this. Your rest day, the first day of the week, in which God's people assembled for worship in honor of a risen Christ, was a day of rest, and it was a day of worship. God's people assembled to worship. And God said to His people, the nation of Israel, work 6 days, rest day seven, and on that day, it needs to be a day of worship. So the principle of holiness, the principle of worship, need to be a part of that rest day. The principle of holiness, the principle of worship. God, who is holy, is to be worshipped with a holy life. And when we make our relationship to the Lord a priority, we have the greatest potential for rest. Our society is getting more tired because there is less of true biblical worship. As people move further away from God and do not worship God more so, there is greater potential for tiredness. It's within that rest day we are to be holy and we are to worship God. May I submit to you, my friend, one of the keys to being well rested is to walk with God. Walk with God daily. Spend time in His Word. Oh, but Pastor, I need my beauty sleep. I challenge you, by faith, wake up half an hour earlier. Spend time with God in His Word and in prayer. I will guarantee you, you'll be better rested. Yes, you will. Because when you honor the principle of worship, God will honor you and He'll renew your strength. So God, as God's people, we are to individually worship. Let me tell you why more of God's people are not well rested, because many of God's people do not walk with God. They do not have a daily time with God. And I can assure you, if you will spend daily time with God in the Bible and in prayer, God will renew your strength. He will. Yes, He will. And collectively, as a church family, we need to meet for worship. This aids your rest by being in church. The day of rest is a holy day. It's a day of worship. The New Testament Christians met on the first day of the week. In recognition of the fact that their Savior not only died for their sins, was buried, but He arose from the dead. It was a day of rest. It was a day of worship. And listen to me this morning. Do you want to be well rested? Be in church Sunday morning, Sunday night. You can say amen. Oh, but Pastor, I can't afford to be in church Sunday night. I need to rest. You're not resting. I guarantee you're not resting. I guarantee you're watching junk on TV. Most of you. Yes, you are. I doubt you're going to bed tucking yourself into bed at 7:30 at night. You're doing things that you're not to do. You ought to be in the house of God. Do you want to be well rested? Be in the house of God. Amen. I'm not trying to be mean, I'm just trying to be real with you. Do you want to be well rested? Then you can't afford not to worship. Worship is an intricate part of rest. Holiness is an intricate part of rest. Do you want to be well rested? Well, four principles. Number one, God commands us to rest. Most of us fall short right there, I confess. Number two, the second principle concerning rest is that that rest day needs to be a holy day. Principle number three, I am to organize my schedule by the grace of God as much as it's humanly possible within my means to do all that I need to do and must accomplish within 6 days. Work hard for 6 days, rest one day. Then last but not least, that day of rest needs to be a day of worship. Now, is that complicated? Talk to me. Are you tired this morning? I'm tired. Another week of camp. And I said to my wife, we're not getting any younger, love. We're not getting any younger. We will naturally break down. That's part of it. We need to reschedule, reassess. That's understood, is it not? But we are so often guilty. Listen to me, I'm up here. We're often guilty of violating Bible, and that's why we're tired. Parents, some of your children are exhausted because you are violating Bible. You are teaching them bad habits. Be a good example. You show them what true rest is all about. Holy rest, worshipful rest. And you teach them and train them. You work hard for 6 days. Let's rest together and worship God together on day seven. Let's be Bible about this. And I would say if we would choose to be Bible about this issue, maybe we'll last a bit longer. Maybe we can do a little bit more for the Lord. Maybe we can win more souls. Maybe we can influence more people. Maybe we can serve God with greater enthusiasm and more energy because we've honored the principles of rest found in the Word of God. Let's bow for prayer. Let's be upstanding, please.